We'll be looking at John 7, verses 37 through 39. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. In the beginning of John 7, we see that the Jews were celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles. In John 7, verse 2, we read, "Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand." This was a feast that occurred during the first part of our month of October. During this seven-day feast, the Jews lived in booths made of tree branches to commemorate their forefathers' pilgrimage through the wilderness. On each of these 7 days, the high priest would go to the pool of Siloam and draw out water in a golden vessel. This water then would be poured out on the altar where the parts of the sacrifice were arranged. As the water was poured out, the people sang unto the Lord and shouted for joy. It was a time of great celebration and worship for the people. This kind of celebrating continued for 7 days. The eighth day was called the great day of the feast. On this eighth day, sacrifices were again offered, but there was no singing and no shouting, for this was known as a solemn day of repentance before the Lord. Another element was missing on this day also. There was no water poured out on the eighth day. It was against this backdrop of silence and symbolism that Jesus stood up and proclaimed himself to be the fountain of living water. When he spoke, thousands would have been present to hear, and everyone who heard him would have instantly understood what he meant. In the verses that we have before us today, Jesus proclaims himself to be the place where the living water is found. Jesus isn't the living water, but he is the fountain where it can be found. Throughout the New Testament, water for drinking is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. You see, it is the Spirit of God that comes to the sinner and shows him his need of salvation. We read in John 16, verse 8, "And when he," this is Christ speaking, "and when he has come," speaking of the Holy Spirit, "when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." When he comes, he will convict the world of sin. You don't need a Savior until you know that you're a sinner. Then you know that you're in need of a Savior to save you from your sin. It is the Holy Spirit who applies the word in conviction. The Holy Spirit is the one who convicts of sin. In John 6, verse 44, we read this, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will lift him up in the last day." The Holy Spirit applies the Word of God. You're drawn to the Father by the Holy Spirit. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." The power is to draw you. The power is used to draw you to the Father. Draws you. the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit also that baptizes the new believer into Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18. We read this. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Every person that comes to Christ is baptized into the body. By one Spirit we were all baptized into one body and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. It is the Spirit that baptizes every new believer into the body of Christ. It is also the Holy Spirit that seals the believer. Look at Ephesians, Ephesians 4, verse 30, we read of the Holy Spirit. And it says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed. Were a past action. You were sealed for what? For the day of redemption. It is the Holy Spirit that convicts of sin. It is the Holy Spirit drawing you. It is the Spirit who baptizes the new believer into the body of Christ. It is the Spirit also that seals the believer. Notice, you were sealed for the day of redemption. Not only does he seal you, not only does he baptize you, not that only is he used to draw you, he's used to convict you, and he also fills you. The Spirit of God fills the believer and uses him for the glory of God. While you're in Ephesians, look at Ephesians 5, verse 18. We read, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Convicted by the Holy Spirit, drawn by the Holy Spirit, baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit, sealed by the Holy Spirit, filled by the Holy Spirit. Salvation involves every member of the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Salvation involves every member of the Trinity, but the Holy Spirit is the one who abides in us and helps us day by day. He is the water of life. If the Spirit is the water of life, then Jesus Christ is the fountain of the living water. Before the water of life could be dispensed to a lost and dying world, the fountain of living water had to be opened. Remember, the opening of a well, it requires that the earth be torn open so that the life-giving water can flow forth. This was accomplished when Jesus Christ died on the cross, when he died the horrible death for sin. He allowed himself to be mocked, to be beaten, to be spit upon, to be crucified just so he could be opened up. So he could be opened up so that the water of the Holy Spirit might be free to flow to a lost and a dying world. The water of the Spirit. Even now, the water of the Holy Spirit is ministering to you right now. He is saying amen to these truths that are being proclaimed. That it is Him who convicts the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. That it is Him that baptizes the new believer into the body of Christ. That it is Him, the Holy Spirit, that seals the believer. That it is Him that fills the believer and uses him for the glory of God. You notice I kept saying Him and He and Him and He. The Holy Holy Spirit is not some kind of a force. He's not a force, nor is he a power. He is part of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So many today feel that salvation would be more of a reality if Jesus Christ was here in person. Even his disciples felt that way before his death. However, Jesus told them that if he didn't go away, that this Holy Spirit would not come into the world. We read that in John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you, Christ speaking, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage. This is, he's telling the disciples, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, notice, I will send him. So here's this Christ returning to the Father, and says when he returns to the Father, that he is going to send him, the Holy Spirit, him. And when he has come, he'll convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. I mean, you see the Father. You see Jesus Christ. You see the Holy Spirit spoken of as an individual. He whom of judgment of the ruler when this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, notice once again, he, the Spirit of truth has come. He, notice, he will guide you into all truth. Notice, he will guide you into all truth. We must depend upon the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. So he's speaking the words that he has heard from Christ, that he has heard from the Father. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me. Remember, this is Christ speaking. He, me, he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said, he will take of mine and declare it to you. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all working in unison to save. And all lifting one another up. Remember. Remember that Christ is the fountain that had to be opened up. It was the well. He was the well that had to be opened up. Remember, Christ wasn't dying because he was, quote unquote, a bad man and deserved to die. He was dying because he loved his people. And he came to make a way. And you shall call his name Jesus, but he will save his people from their sins. He died for the sins of his people. Let me close by looking at Romans 5, beginning in verse 5. Romans 5, verse 5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been, notice, here's a word with water and fountain and stuff. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who, notice, who was given to us. The love of God poured out in our hearts. The fountain, brothers and sisters, is open. The fountain of living water is open. It's been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Notice, we were without strength. It's when Christ came. We were powerless. Notice, we were ungodly, we were ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates. He puts on a show. He shows. God demonstrates his own love toward us. And that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Without strength, ungodly, still sinners. Christ knows, died for us. Once again, the well had to be opened. It required that Christ would be torn open so that the life-giving water would come forth. Verse 9 of Romans 5. Much more than having now been justified. That in the by and by, having now been justified, made right. Made right with God. Having now been justified, notice, by his blood. That well, the opening of the well. The earth had to be torn open. Christ had to be torn open. The blood was shed. Notice, we shall be saved from wrath. That's what people need to be saved from. From wrath. Not a bad situation in life. You had a bad deal. Your parents died. You were abused. You were a drug addict. You was a drunkard. You were rich. You were poor. You were middle class. Life is turned. No. He doesn't save you from all of that. He saves you from the wrath to come. For if when we were enemies. Remember. There's the fourth thing that we were apart from Christ. Without strength, ungodly, still sinners, if when we were enemies. Notice, we were reconciled to God. How? Through the death of his Son. The earth had to be torn up. Christ had to die. Through the death of his Son, much more, having been justified. Having been reconciled. We shall be saved, notice, by his life. Christ died for us. We're saved from the wrath of God by his life. His life that was given on Calvary. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now receive the reconciliation. And my friend, that's what we're looking at today. Have you been reconciled to God Almighty? Have you been reconciled? Have you been brought to the Father by the Son through the power of the Holy Spirit? Have you been regenerated? Have you been made anew? Have you been born again? Have you come to Calvary? Have you looked to Christ for salvation? For there is no other name given amongst men where we must be saved, that at the name of Jesus Christ every knee shall bow. So the question is, will you bow your knee now to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and King of Kings, or will you bow your knee in that day when Christ says, depart from me. I never knew you. What a solemn word. What a terrifying word from Christ. Depart from me, for I never knew you. I would pray to God Almighty that that would not be said of you. Depart from me, I never knew you. But that he would welcome you into his kingdom with open arms. Come to Christ today for salvation. And brothers and sisters, if you are listening today and you are a child of God, should we not rejoice? As the scripture said in Romans 5 that I read, that we should rejoice. That's what it said in our text. Let me read that last verse in closing. Romans 5, verse 11. And not only that, but we also rejoice. Rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We've been saved from the wrath of God by the life of Christ. And now, brothers and sisters, our response is one of rejoicing. One of rejoicing. Let us rejoice and be glad.